The November 10th, 2020 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. I'll ask Ms. Jessica Hagan to read the roll call to see how many board members we have available.
Mr. Michael Brown. Mr. Tom Wywoody.
I'm here.
Ms. Linda Southers. Ms. Tanya Milton. Mr. Joseph Welch. Mr. Ellis Cook.
Here.
Mr. Joseph Irvin.
Present.
Ms. Karen Jarrett.
Here.
I need to charge this thing anyway.
Mr. Lacy Manigo. Mr. Travis Coles.
Here.
Ms. Eula Parker.
Here.
Mr. Wayne Noah.
Here.
Mr. Lee Smith.
Okay, that does it. We'll pause for our invocation and then proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. Lord, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to come together and make decisions for the betterment of our community. Give us the knowledge and temperament to make unbiased, thoughtful, and fair decisions on matters that affect all of our citizens in one way or another. Finally, keep us safe from harm so that we can continue at all that we prepare to do in the future. We ask this in thy precious name. Amen. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Metropolitan Planning Commission is holding a virtual meeting in an effort to be compliant with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allowed a time frame of 10 to 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Need a motion?
Karen Jarrett, so moved.
Any discussion? Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Research, yep, research.
Mr. Y. Woody?
I approve.
Ms. Milton? Ms. Milton? Mr. Welch? Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Motion passes. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements, item number two.
Excuse me, Ellis, this is Linda Southers. Did you not include me?
I didn't know you were here. Are you here? You're here, okay. You're, how do you vote on the agenda?
I approve.
Okay, motion
passed. Mr. Chairman, it also shows that Mr. Smith is on the call as well.
Mr. Smith? Is Lee Smith available? Huh? All right, we'll just move on then. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments at November 10th Finance Committee meeting today at 11:30 a.m. Did we hear for the chairman for a report on the meeting?
Yes, the Finance Committee met at 11:30, which consisted of myself, Mr. Welch, Ms. Jarrett, and Mr. Cook, and we discussed the finances. Everything is in order. There was nothing out of the ordinary. We are planning on meeting, planning a meeting for December prior to the city's meeting, and so that we can discuss the budget and some, and we'll get back with the board on the final issues with that.
Thank you. Development plan submitted to the board members. Item number five, items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've got three items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. Zoning map amendment for 135 Hampstead Avenue. That item is currently scheduled for the November 24th meeting. Zoning map amendment for 8427 through 8518 Whitfield Avenue. That item is currently scheduled for the December 15th meeting. And zoning map amendment 1902 and 1920 Waters Avenue. That item is currently scheduled for November 24th.
Anybody want to comment on those items? I need a motion.
Oh, Irvin, so moved.
Need a second. I have a motion and a second. Are there any discussion? All right, we'll vote on the withdrawal. Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
In favor.
Mr. Y. Woody?
In favor.
Ms. Southers?
In favor.
Ms. Milton?
In favor.
Mr. Welch? Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? The motion passes. There are no items requested to be withdrawn from the agenda. Moving on to the consent agenda, approval of the October 13th, 2020 briefing and regular meeting minutes. Need a motion?
So moved. Joe Irvin?
Can I get a second?
Second.
Second.
And moved in a, and seconded. Any discussion? Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
In favor.
Mr. Wywoody?
In favor.
Ms. Southers?
In favor.
Ms. Milton?
In favor.
Mr. Welch? Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yeah.
Mr. Smith? The motion passes. We move on to old business. Item number 9, zoning map amendment 5820 Ogeechee Road rezone request from RA to BN. Ms. Watson.
Chairman Cook, if I may just ask those on the line before we begin the presentations, please just mute your microphones while we're presenting the information so that we can kind of limit the background noise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me just pull up a couple of these maps here. Okay, at issue is to request to rezone 5820 Ogeechee Road from the RA zoning district to the BN zoning district. As some of you may remember, at the September 1st, 2020 MPC meeting, this item was continued in order for the MPC staff and the petitioner to analyze if there was a way to accommodate this use within the current zoning district. Just want to do some brief orientation. Here's a vicinity map showing the location from a very broad view. Zoning map showing the RA zoning district along Ogeechee Road. There's also an aerial map here showing the primary structure as well as two accessory structures on the western side of the lot. 5820 Ogeechee Road is a conforming 1.09 acre parcel in the RA zoning district. The parcel is a remnant property due to the widening of Ogeechee Road and has very odd lot dimensions. Owners of the property and business would like to make the property a full-time office for their painting company, which would accommodate subcontractors and employees. So, since the continuance of the September 1st meeting, staff made the petitioner aware of the home-based business parameters of the property and ordinance. However, it is the petitioner's intent to operate fully as a non-residential use. Upon further analysis and communications with the petitioner, all other potential solutions were exhausted to kind of figure out if this could work in the base zoning district due to the fact that, that the petitioner is only amenable to a rezoning which would allow business usage, the ability to accommodate employees, and the ability to accommodate subcontractors as well as signage. I do want to note that at the time of the report writing, staff has not received any feedback or correspondence regarding this petition from any members of the public. I'm not going to go through the policy analysis or anything that I did in detail at the September 1st meeting. Our recommendation has not changed. I just wanted to reconfirm that we, as staff, recommend that the MPC deny the rezoning request brought forth by the petitioner based on the rezoning criteria and based on the fact that a non-conforming condition would be created if rezoned. And that non-conforming condition would be the setback. So these two accessory structures on the western side of the property would make the lot non-conforming due to their location and proximity of the property lines. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions of staff? Is the petitioner present?
Yes.
We need to hear from you then.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I would like the board to consider this approval. As you all know, up and down Ogeechee Road, there's various businesses in the area, some similar, some not similar. And we just all requesting to convert this over to we can accommodate our employees and subcontractor and also be able to get signage. So I'm just asking the board to please consider approval.
Any questions for the petitioner?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm sure that staff has done everything to try to accommodate the requests, and I'm sure when we continue this meeting, I guess there's no other way around all of this. Is that right?
That's correct.
So do you have any suggestions for what it can be?
Are you asking staff or the petitioner, ma'am?
I'm sorry, I was asking staff, but the petitioner, I guess, is the one that I should address and to find out, is there not any other use that he would like to see this on this property?
No, ma'am. We just solely want to use this particular location for business / office space.
And staff has given you all the reasons why that can't happen, right?
Yeah, they gave me the reason, but I totally still not understanding the reason. I get from my understanding is due to the two additional buildings that's on the property, which had already been approved by the board. I still don't have a clear understanding on why, because like I stated, there's various different businesses up and down each road that are functioning, and some are similar, some are not similar. So I still don't have a clear understanding of why.
Mr. Chairman, Wayne Noah.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, sir. For clarity, can staff tell us what this is currently zoned again?
Yes, sir. This is currently zoned RA, residential agriculture. And I'd also like to take a moment just to kind of take a step back and refresh board members as well that it is currently operating as a residence and a home-based business. And also the two accessory structures, they were granted variances by the Zoning Board of Appeals due to their location. There's a couple of things that make this, you know, plot of land peculiar. It also serves as the entrance to some of the properties back behind, which are still zoned the same thing. So while the petitioner, you know, claims there are businesses up and down Ogeechee Road, it just goes without saying that this is currently zoned residential agriculture. Currently, it is operating as a home-based business. And I did forget to mention in here that the petitioner was cited by Chatham County for operating a business on a residentially zoned property. And that is what kind of has brought forth this rezoning request to the commission at this time.
Yes, sir. And for clarity, if you know the answer to this, are there any other residential properties facing Ogeechee Road from 204 to Dean Forest Road, or would this be the only one?
I don't have an exact answer for you, sir. I'm sure there's a few here and there, but I can't give you a specific answer to that.
Yes, sir. And staff, I'm sure, is aware that that this property being odd in size, location, etc., would not be a good home site long term. I just feel like we could, I don't know what to do, but this is an odd residential lot abutting a state highway.
So it is currently zoned residential agriculture. It is, you know, operating as a residence. We can't speak to whether it would be a good residence or not, as we just look at it through the lens of the ordinance, and that is all.
Yes, sir, I'm aware.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Coles?
Yes, Mr. Coles.
Question for staff. If the opposition to rezoning is because it would create a non-conforming space, could we not also grant a variance for the setback for those two buildings to make it compliant?
Hi, this is Melanie Wilson, Executive Director. One of the challenges with this site is that it was a remnant property from the construction that took place with regards to the road improvements that you see there. If there is an additional variance, that would have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals. It would not be something that this body would grant. The recommendation for denial is multi, you know, it's multifold. It's not just that it's a unique shaped piece of property. It's also that when you look at the land use plan, the area in the back, it's part of a larger area that that is to be zoned for either a mixed use or it's, you know, different type of development. So I think that one of the challenges is that this was initially rented as single family. I think that they continue to add buildings, which the county and the BZA allowed them to do. And there is the request to continuously expand. But you all have to remember that once you do something like this, it sets a precedent, and it's a precedent along this roadway. So those are the things that you need to consider. And again, the rezoning request would create even a greater non-conforming condition with regards to this property.
I'd also like to add as well that it's not just the location of those structures that would be creating nonconformity. Changing to a commercial style zoning of BN, they'd have to then conform to ordinances for stormwater buffers, setbacks, all of those details that are normally part of the non-residential zoning and requirements by ordinance process.
Any other questions by the board?
Yes, Karen Jarrett here. Can you tell me what will happen with this property if we vote no? Is he going to be shut down?
No, he would not be shut down. It is operating as a home-based business right now. He could continue on, excuse me, operating as he is. However, he cannot accommodate subcontractors or have employees visit the site as part of the home-based business ordinance that the county has. So he would not be, you know, told that, you know, he had to move or vacate that property or anything close to that. He'd still be able to operate, just not in the way that he would like to operate.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, Wayne Noah again. I'm still unable to see the actual links and look at the surrounding zoning. Can you put up a map of the surrounding zoning for me? Do you have what's across and behind?
Yes, sir. Behind it is also RA. All surrounding that property is RA.
Okay, and the future land use map, can you show that for me as well since I can't look at it?
All right, here. There's the future land use map. Can you see that, sir?
Mr. Noah, can you see?
Yes, I'm sorry. It was muted. I'm sorry. Am I correct in understanding that this being part of that plan development, so the owner today could not do anything, but if the owner behind or west of this property in the plan development area came forth with a plan, then he could be part of that plan, but not a plan itself, is that correct?
Anything is possible, sir. The problem with this parcel is that it's too small by itself. That's why you need to take into account and consideration all of the properties surrounding to be part of that plan development.
Yes, sir. And could you answer one more question for me? The land across the street from it, is that, I'm not sure what the colors are. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions by the board?
Mr. Chairman, yes, this is Eula Parker. I just want to ask, so the property where it's shown the planned development, is it with their property, this development is going through their property, is that correct? Or it's just a part of that planned development?
Can you repeat that, ma'am?
Their property, is it, it's included in the planned development, or is it that the planned development is going to pass through their property? I'm just trying to understand how it's set up here.
This is just a designation on the future land use map. So the property that's crosshatched right now, that is the parcel boundaries for the property in question. The planned development is just that shade of yellow or tan that you see that just designates the future land use. Those are completely separate parcels though.
Okay, but there's currently nothing behind them right now. It's just their property sitting there by itself.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions by the board? Anybody from the public here to make a comment on this petition? Hearing none, I'll take a motion from the board.
Karen Jarrett, move to approve staff recommendation.
Tom, I would second.
Do I have a second?
Tom, I would second.
Any discussion? All in favor, Mr. Brown, how do you vote? Mr. Brown? Mr. Wywoody?
Aye.
Ms. Southers?
Aye.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles? Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith? The motion passes. Request is denied. Number 10, special use request, 2305 Augusta Avenue, Shelter Transitional Center. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an item that was continued from the MPC meeting of September 22nd. The petitioner is requesting approval of a special use. That request is pursuant to section 3.10 of the zoning ordinance to establish two uses found in Article 5, which is the principal use table, emergency shelter and transitional shelter. The petitioner, which is the Salvation Army, or officially the Salvation Army Center of Hope, are making this request for a property of approximately 12 acres located at 2305 Augusta Avenue. This is a vicinity map that shows the broad area of the subject property. This tax map shows the parcels that are in question here on the north side of Old West Lathrop and adjacent to the 516 off-ramp at Augusta Avenue. Zoning map shows that the properties are currently zoned BC. That's a community business designation. That is a commercial designation in the city of Savannah that permits a wide range of commercial uses. The special use is being requested because the two uses that I discussed, emergency and transitional shelter, are permitted in the BC district with special use approval. This process is a somewhat new process in the new zoning ordinance that requires certain uses be approved by the mayor and aldermen. So there is a two-step process associated with this request. It's treated essentially as a zoning action. So the petitioner brings forth their request to this body, and then this body makes a recommendation that then gets forwarded to the mayor and alderman for consideration. I should back up a little bit and tell you that initially this petition was made back in January of this year, but everything that occurred in our lives in March caused it to get pushed back. So the petitioner held it off for a while and is now before you with this request. As you'll recall, at our last meeting, we discussed in detail what the proposal entailed, and I think I'm sure the petitioner's on the line today to discuss some of that, but in review of the criteria as it relates to special uses and as it relates to the base zoning, staff found that it did meet those criteria. I should add that we received a number of pieces of correspondence from neighborhood organizations as well. The petitioner had, I believe, three meetings, and he might correct me, during his time with neighborhood groups, the West Savannah Community Organization, the Woodville Community Organization as well, both of which submitted letters of support for this petition. And there was also a petition, and as you'll recall, a member of the West Savannah Residents and Concerned Citizens spoke in opposition to this petition during our last meeting, and their petition is attached to the agenda as well. One of the things that came up during our meeting was the relevance of the Weeping Time Historic Site, and there is a portion of our criteria that requires us to consider whether the special use that's being requested would result in destruction, loss, or damage of any feature determined by the review authority to be of natural, cultural, scenic, or historic importance. So we did recognize that there is nearby here a very important and significant historic site, and our staff did produce an exhibit to kind of identify that. This shows the subject properties highlighted in yellow again, and the parcels that are associated with what was the Weeping Time area, as we discussed in our previous meeting. So we wanted to provide this exhibit and this information just to show the subject property and its relationship to the historic site. With that said, the special use provisions of the ordinance are designed to allow reviewing authorities to give special consideration to uses in certain zoning districts and with certain characteristics. The review criteria outlined in Article 3 are the standards that are considered in special uses. We believe that the use being requested by the petitioner is in a fairly isolated location in terms of its relationship to nearby residential, that the development pattern in the immediate vicinity consists primarily of commercial and institutional uses. And while the proposed use is a substantial use in terms of scale, we believe that it does not create the type of intensity that could be created with other uses under the base zoning, which is, again, is BC. Based on those findings, we did recommend approval. That remains our recommendation today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions by board members? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, could you restate the recommendation to the staff?
The staff recommendation is for approval of the special use.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Michael. I apologize. This is my first time back, and I may not be up to snuff. I'm certainly not as computer literate, perhaps, as others. I had some questions of the staff and of the ultimately of the petitioner. It, And I have not been able to read. I have them, but I've only just my first end of the first week on the job. So I've not necessarily read all of the requests of the adjacent residents and organizations, but in your conversations or in your staff work, what area plans, what area plans had an effect upon this site and vice versa? So in other words, did you consider or do you know of any housing, redevelopment, other plans that are affected by this project that should be considered, and were they?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. Thank you for that. We did look at a number of other planning efforts that have taken place in this area, including the West Vanda Revitalization Plan, which I believe was initially began in, I want to say, 2007. Some of that might have been involved in that, might correct me of the date, but there were also charrettes held regarding this particular area or the overall area. But as I recall, based on the information I had available, this particular property was not involved in that planning effort, but the general neighborhood was. And in our review, the proposed use in terms of its relationship to the criteria, we felt met those criteria and also would be a benefit to the neighborhood as a whole.
Okay, so to continue on that, what were the boundaries of this other plan in which there were even charrettes? What was the boundaries of that, and did it include the boundary? You're saying it did not include the boundaries of this area within this petition.
Yes, sir. My understanding is that the reason these particular properties were not included in those discussions is that they were under the ownership of the housing authority.
But so they just weren't even thought about, or I guess I just want to make sure, because I've had some feedback that there are plans in place and certainly plans that will be prepared for West Savannah. And I guess, and forgive me, but the western portion of it, does it abut or is it in the Woodville neighborhood?
Yes, sir. Well, there has been some, I guess, some lack of clarity as to the exact boundaries of where the West Savannah neighborhood ends and where the Woodville community begins. We have had feedback from both of those organizations regarding this petition, but my understanding, as best I can tell, is that the West Savannah neighborhood went to the railroad track, essentially. So if that's correct, then this property would be within those boundaries.
And you didn't see anything in any West Savannah plan that had a conflict between this site plan development and the West Savannah plan?
Well, I think in looking through that plan, the best way to sort of categorize the feelings about this property was that a number of neighbors and stakeholders involved in that process were desirous of particular uses for this property. But I don't believe it, and I'm speaking to some of the charrettes that were held regarding that at this point, that those were adopted plans per se, and that the owners, or if you will, of this property were not a part of that discussion.
Since this was a sale, I take it, or will be a sale from the Housing Authority, and is it owned, I'm assuming it's owned by the Housing Authority of Savannah Incorporated, shall we say?
Yes, sir.
Did the Department of Housing and Urban Development have a role in the decision to sell it? Did they have any rules that needed to be adhered to?
That would probably be best explained by the applicant, but my understanding is that they do have certain criteria by which they have to meet in order to sell property, in terms of the uses that will be allowed to be on that property.
Okay, and was there any contact with the Woodville community, or you're saying you just don't know whether or not it was in conformance with plans for Woodville?
No, there was contact with the Woodville community. The petitioner met separately with the Woodville community. I'm not aware of any plans that are associated with that community, but I believe a member of that community representative is going to be speaking on this meeting today.
Okay, and I don't want to keep being to be too dominant here, but I wanted to just be clear. I think that the residents, some of the residents and leaders of West Savannah wish to preserve the ability to not just monumental recognition of the Weeping Time site and what was the name of the racetrack? It had a Dutch name, right?
Ten Broek.
Ten Broek.
The racetrack Ten Broek, yes, sir.
Yeah, Ten Broek. Does not overlap with the boundaries of that site, does it?
No, it does not. And I'll pull that exhibit back up. And I want to be sure for everyone who's listening that, you know, this exhibit was something that was done based on a conglomeration of historical data that staff had available to it. This is by no means, you know, something that was provided by the Smithsonian, but we were aware of the location and wanted to be able to exhibit that and the impacts of other properties that the development of other properties have had on the historic site and its relationship to the proposed special use area.
Okay, so that the color map that we're looking at with the racetrack oval, that's to the best of your knowledge, it's not been designated by any historic, you know, any formal historic process.
That's correct. Right? Okay. Yes, sir.
How would that be done? I would like to get some information on that, and then I'd like to actually between the city staff and MPC begin the process, at least to get basic, you know, I'm sure it would be a fairly detailed process, but I'd like to at least begin the process of saying that what are reasonable boundaries for this. I mean, are there any burial sites? Are there, you know, I mean, that's a reasonable amount of land, and clearly it's directly cut through by 516. But having said that, I'd like to begin a process of information presentation to say, how do you officially designate this as an historic site? What would that mean? How would it be done? What category would it be in? And I would like to ask the petitioner to acknowledge that I think that the city would like to see them and neighbors be parties to that, so that if there's something on the petitioner's site that would support the preservation development, or, you know, I'm not saying we're not obviously going to build a racetrack here again, but something that would be a true historic site, that the petitioner has agreed ahead of time that they would have a role and some obligation to participate in that. So I will ask Mr. McCorkle that when he comes up. So I think you have answered. So you saw no land use conflicts adjacent to this, and it is surrounded by the both transportation corridors, commercial buildings, 516 commercial properties to the south, the railroad right away. What is the property of just to the immediate west on the other side of the railroad track? What is that?
Are you talking about, and I don't know if you can see what I'm pointing
at. Yes, that, and then across the tracks.
Yeah, these are both of these areas are light industrial. You got some warehousing, logistics type facilities in this area.
Okay. Well, I thank you. I think that you've answered my questions for staff, but I would ask the petitioner to be aware. So I would ask the staff, and I know that you're busy, but to get some sort of written communication to me that acknowledges that this issue needs review, and I'll ask city staff to work with you in producing a report about how would official historic status be obtained for the red shaded or pink shaded official site, although you've said, you know, this is not official, it's your best reasonable guess of what was the boundary of the Ten Brook racetrack.
Yes, sir. And that is based on some work that the city did, believe it was the archivist, a number of years ago, as well as information that's publicly available about the history of the site.
Would you get that information and send it to me? I'd ask that you send it to the members of the MPC, and then also to the presidents of West Savannah neighborhood and the Woodville neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions of staff by the board members? Is the petitioner present?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Ellis. I'm Philip McCorkle. I'm here on behalf of the Salvation Army. Paul Egan, the major, local major for the Salvation Army, hopefully is on the call as well, and will follow up my comments with some comments of his own. I'll try not to be too long-winded. I strongly urge you today to vote on this issue. We were here 6 weeks ago, and it was tabled without direction as to what should be doing during that 6 weeks. And to my knowledge, nothing really has occurred other than I had a meeting along with Major Egan with all, you know, about a dozen pastors from the West Savannah area. And it was a great meeting, and we had great support from the pastors, except for one gentleman. So it wasn't unanimous. It was one person that was upset about it or had objections, but 11 out of 12 or 10 out of 11, how many ever there were in support. So we felt great about that. The other comment I want to make preliminarily is I think the reason we got tabled 6 weeks ago is an elected official who really will have a vote on the final say-so on this application for special use permit spoke and asked that it be tabled with no direction as to what would be accomplished. I've been doing land use work for 40 years, and I've never had an elected official speak who would ultimately have a vote on the final decision. And so it was confusing. There's nothing I could do about it when it occurred, but I would object for that continuing. I would plead with you to let this process move along to city council where the ultimate decision would be made. On the issue itself, the property is zoned BC, and transitional shelters are an allowed use if special use criteria are satisfied. And as Mr. Lotson said, and I agree with staff, the six criteria listed in the new ordinance, new zone, have been satisfied. Briefly, whether the special use is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and staff, and I agree with staff, it is consistent. Whether specific use standards can be achieved, and I agree with staff, yes, they can be met. Whether a special use is detrimental to the public interest, and I agree with staff that it's not, I'd point out that this is in the middle of a business and light industrial district or uses, and it's 500 feet from the nearest home, which is on the other side of the Lyons Parkway overpass headed east. So it's a good location for this beautiful building and this great public use that's going to be beneficial to so many lower income people in the community. The fourth one, whether the subject property is adequate in shape and size, and it is, I agree with staff. Are there adequate public facilities? There are, I agree with staff. And finally, whether the special use will result in destruction or loss or damage of any feature which is determined to be historic. And as has already been discussed, nearby There is the Ten Brock Race Course where the Weepy Time slave auction took place, which is certainly historically important to this community. But it's not the location of the slave auction, although some people may have made that statement. I personally went to the city archives and spent an afternoon going through everything in the archives about the location of the Weepy Time slave auction and came away satisfied 100% that this is not that location, although it is nearby. The Salvation Army, full of people who have concerns about all other people, and they're listening to the concerns of those who might want to commemorate in some way the Weepy Time racetrack area and the event that occurred. And so we modified our plan from what we originally submitted to accommodate as best we could those requests by making a view corridor. I mean, when I met with a city council member back in February before COVID, the complaint was our building was so large you wouldn't be able to see where the hoped for commemorative area or museum for the Weepy Time would be built or conceived to be built. And so having listened to those concerns, we modified our site plan at no small expense to us and opened up a view area of 240 feet wide, almost a football field wide. We changed the access to our site to have direct access through our site to the area behind or to the south, which is where the racetrack had been. And, you know, we would accommodate any type of marker, directional signs, anything else on our property. Again, the Salvation Army is sensitive to the issue, and I can pledge, before I'm even asked to pledge, their cooperation and anything they can do as part of the process if, in fact, some progress is made toward a historical commemoration of the Weepy Time event. After having gone through those six criteria, I'll note that there's nothing in the criteria that says, are there other uses that people in the area would rather have? That's not a criteria. That's not an issue here. The issue is with Zone BC, transitional shelters are an allowed use if they meet the criteria. You go through the criteria, and I agree with staff that they have been met. So with that, I'll ask Major Egan to explain. I'll be glad to maybe stop here and answer any questions, or I can let Major Egan speak, and then we can come back and I can answer questions, however you'd like to do it.
Any questions for the petitioner by staff members? I mean, by board members.
I would like to ask him some, but perhaps it would be better to hear from the the executive or the representative of the petitioner, the organizational representative. I'll defer till after they've spoken.
You there, Mr. Major Egan?
Mr. Egan from the Salvation Army. Are you present?
Unfortunately, he may be as challenged about these webinars as I am. Major Egan, are you there? If not, I'll just answer the questions and do the best I can.
Hello, this is Arlene Davis with the Housing Authority.
Yes,
could
ma'am.
I speak, please? Yes, please. I'd like to address some of the questions raised by City Manager Brown. He asked if the Housing Authority had received any approval from the HUD office for the sale of this property. The Housing Authority submitted an application to HUD in 2015. As a part of that application, there was a letter of support signed by then Mayor Edna Jackson, dated June 15, 2016, and a resolution from the Housing Authority of Savannah's board, dated June 17, 2015. HUD approved the sale of the property to the Salvation Army, and I have a letter to that effect dated November 22nd, 2017.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any questions?
I'm sorry, one other thing. The Housing Authority staff was a part of the West Savannah revitalization plan. Goody Clancy, I believe, conducted that plan. The land of the Housing Authority was excluded. There were several things noted in the Goody Clancy plan that were needed, including single-family housing, which we have built on the redeveloped sustainable Fellwood home site. We built 12 single-family detached homes, transitional housing, and this is in keeping with that plan, and senior housing. And we built a 100-unit senior facility on the former Fellwood Homes site. Thank you.
This is Michael, Mr. Chairman. Is it okay for me to ask a question of Ms. Davis?
Sure.
And I've been unmuted as well. Sorry, this is Major Egan. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we should, since he's here, maybe we could let him go ahead and speak as envisioned by.
Thank you. That's fine, the chair. I hope so. I just got in a fight with my computer and I think I lost, but I hopefully won now. Thank you for letting us talk about this subject today. You'll know that the Salvation Army has our facility here on 3100 Montgomery Street. It's the old Kreitz dealership from back built in the 40s. And we took it over in the 70s and have enjoyed helping folks since then here, particularly with sheltering and beginning with some emergency sheltering and sheltering just for men, but then transitioning into a lot more transitional housing and bringing in opportunities for women and children, which has been limited by the size of our facility and the way that it's cut. It was built nicely for a car dealership, but not so much for a program helping men and women to move forward with their lives. And so our hope is that we would be able to put on this land a multi-million dollar facility that we would be able to house up to 180 folks over that to help them to move forward with their lives. We would have emergency sheltering. We'd also continue the other programs that we have here on Montgomery Street, including our food pantry, our social services, and particularly our transitional housing, helping people go from shelter to success in their life. The chance to see people's lives turn around here at the Salvation Army is absolutely fantastic. That is what we want to be able to do more of and do better in a beautiful facility, a brand new place that would help people to move forward with their lives. The families that we have here, just as one small example, and I'll hush up, is we have our yard, which in the evenings the men are there, and then they'll have time out, and the women and children are able to go out there. It's just some picnic benches on a slab of asphalt. I think the Salvation Army would love to do better than that. I think the city of Savannah and the greater Chatham area has done well to help us to make differences in people's lives and be able to come out here in beautiful West Savannah, Woodville neighborhood, and to put up a facility that can inspire folks to move people forward, to tell them the story of this area, and to let them know that greater days are ahead for them is a great opportunity for us. So I would love to be able to do this work there. And hope we can answer any other questions that might come up. Thank you.
And any questions for the Salvation Army?
Chairman, this is Michael Brown. Could I ask Mr. Egan a few questions?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Egan, certainly to continue your programs and to expand them and enhance them, that's very commendable, but I do have a few questions. One is, you are essentially at the let's call it the Kreitz site. How close are you to residential now?
I think if you go out the west side of our property, yeah, there's a church, and then we go into housing, I believe.
About how far would that be?
I'm not sure. It's just the next neighborhood over. I'm thinking
over to 51st Street, or just to the north of 52nd. That would be closest to you.
I would imagine going north. Yes.
Okay. What sorts of conflicts, if any, have you had with your neighbors, whether that be, I guess, is what, SCAD, other businesses? What sorts of problems have you had with your neighbors?
None of note. SCAD seems to love us. They keep building around us. They built another big place right there. I've been here in the late evenings, and I know there's a to the north of us, there's a Island Breeze, I assume a bar, for lack of a better term, a restaurant, I will say. I know they have parking activities late into the night, but they don't park in our area, and we've not had any issues there. I think we've had happy relationships with the folks around us.
Okay, if you have trouble, because, I mean, I have had involvement with a number of, you know, I wouldn't call them insurmountable, but there are relationship issues amongst neighbors. So, for example, at the first one at Inner City, we've had, of course, it's really not comparable because it's such a tight site that the social apostolate has, you know, has been. So if there are such troubles, what would be your plan to manage those, communicate and resolve those issues with the residents or the adjacent businesses?
Oh, I typically just make sure that we're all on the same page and understand each other. I think the places that you mentioned, you'll know that we do 24-hour, not guard, but 24-hour receptionist at the front desk. So we always have somebody who's willing and able to answer the door. We have also with that, people that stay here, because we have women and children on the property, we're not able to house anyone that is intoxicated, that is under the influence of drugs, or and the first thing we have to do as well is to do a background check to make sure there are no sexual offenders to clear them before they're able to stay with us. That's I think a little bit different than some of the other shelters in town that might have a lower barrier. I mean, we need all kinds of those kind of shelters, but for our shelter, this is what we do. It is definitely much more of moving folks towards transition and then on forward with who they are. I've had a, yes, sir.
So would you, in other words, you would be amenable to both an informal and, if necessary, a formal process by which, if there are complaints about your clientele, that you would work with the people who are complaining? And do you have a mechanism to adjust the behavior of your clientele?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. I think it's always who kind of locks the door when somebody walks by. The folks that are staying here have to be moving forward with their lives. We're not interested in keeping folks here that are just going to make the place worse. You're not allowed to sleep around the sides of the building or on our property just to lay out, as the case may be. Even if you're a resident here, we've got some folks coming in through the reentry program that if they are not out looking for work or in work, we have to do case management with them. Make sure they're just not kind of, we're not interested in helping people to get through this month. We're trying to get them through this life. And so we're trying to move them forward with their lives. And so kind of what you're talking about is not a real issue, but we're happy to speak with neighbors and to make sure that folks feel good about the way that the Army looks, the way the people that we have coming and going. I mean, whenever I see clients, oh, go ahead, sir.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think what was very helpful, I would actually ask staff to take that portion of Mr. Egan's comments. You can edit them. I say edit, make them concise, but
I hear him saying
that there would be a commitment by the organization to deal forthrightly and promptly with any complaints about clientele, and that you would also both with the complainants and with the clientele. Now, a few more things, Ms. Chairman. This is an important issue, and I think some of the reasons that I wasn't even here, obviously, but the reason why it was delayed. Let me ask you this. Now, in the planning process for the Salvation Army as an organization, what, you know, because I hate to say that I'm going to be telling war stories, but Diamond Dance and I actually purchased with city money the first, I don't know, except for you, and you've been here a long time, and perhaps Union Mission, but we purchased the site on Arnold Street. So, and I know, you know, that you have to locate these somewhere, and some people don't want them near anything. But when you made your site decision, what was your process in looking around the community to try to figure out the best place that would be a good fit for the clients and for the particular site? How did you do that?
Well, we had a couple of the individuals on our local advisory board. I've only been here since June of 2018, and had a couple of members of our local advisory board who had went out for years looking for a place that we could move to that would be all of this. I think identified maybe the three, probably about 5 years ago, was the site out here on Augusta Avenue that is just absolutely marvelous for what we were looking for. But then it's the process with the housing authority. They have a lot of criteria that they need to have met for us, for anybody, to purchase this property. And that process took quite a while, and it wasn't until around that same time, I guess maybe May of 2018, that they were able to tell us that they were able to sell this property to us. And Ms. Davis might be able to speak more to that.
I think we've already heard from Ms. Davis.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And then just a couple more questions. I appreciate this because I know this is going to come to City Council. I do think that, you know, that it's best for us to handle elected officials' decisions over here, but I also want to make sure that their concerns do get addressed. Mm-hmm. Was there a coordination of this plan as a component or part of any plan for homelessness or transitional housing in Savannah? Is this consistent with those plans, in other words?
Yes, we work consistently with the community of care, continuum of care, and the homeless authority in making sure that we coordinate with them. I know that these properties were looked at. Now, this is before my time to see this. It was decided since April, May of 2018 that this was where we, if it was available, since it became available, we were going to be wanting to purchase here.
Okay, just a couple more quick questions, mm-hmm. Maybe even for Mr. McCorkle. So do you know the name of the church? Apparently you had about a dozen pastors and one of them had an objection. Do you know the name of the church that objected to that and their location?
Am I on? Yes, I'm connected. I don't remember the gentleman's name. I believe he's from the Hudson Hills area. This is
Earlene Davis. It was Pastor Gordon from the Solomon Temple Church of God in Christ on Augusta Avenue.
We're about to Augusta. And he will speak on the issue. Pastor Gordon is here.
And then I'll just ask one or two more questions. If you would, Mr. McCorkle, you made a statement here, which was, you made a statement that I think probably concerns the residents here because I think they are legitimately hoping that we can get some neighborhood supportive retail. I mean, you just made a flat statement that, did you mean that this site would not accommodate a grocery store or a drugstore, or did you mean anywhere in the area wouldn't accommodate that? Because it's sort of a gratuitous, excuse the term, conclusion, which might kind of scare other people or concern them. I think it's very legitimate to try to get somewhere here in this area a grocery store, and I think that's a very appropriate desire to have. So is that something concluded?
I did not. I don't believe I said that at all, Mr. Brown. In today's comments, I have not said that for sure.
But it was in the written.
In the written, what I sent out to you was from that 2005 Good Clancy study, and those were not my conclusions. Those were quotes from the gentleman who did the study. And I would be thrilled if a modern pharmacy and or modern grocery store would go into the West Savannah area. But the conclusion from the study, from the experts, not from me, was that it's probably not demographically possible for a grocery store, perhaps a modern pharmacy, but that would need to be located on Bay Street to, for the traffic and not on Augusta Avenue. Those were not my words. Those were their words. So my comment on those words are that we also are achieving through the construction of this facility for the Salvation Army, we're satisfying some express needs from the 2005 Good Clancy study and from the Woodville study in 2012. And all the studies have expressed a desire for transitional type housing and helping people get reconnected to community after they've been in facilities. So I'm not saying that they should not have or cannot have a grocery store or a pharmacy. I'm saying that that's not one of the criteria for special use approval, as that somebody else might have another desire for this piece of property. This property is zoned for a transitional shelter. If you meet the criteria, it should be approved. God bless them if they can find a place for a grocery store and or a pharmacy. And I've never said anything other than that, so I don't know why anybody would have said that.
I'm just asking because that's, you know, you everyone said, well, we don't know why it got delayed and who knows, but I mean, to me, these are concerns that I would have for that area, because here we are trying to, you know, to help, as we've shown, but you know, as Erling Davis said, with Fellwood and infill housing and Moses Jackson Center, right. And the recognition of the Weeping Time site in a small park, but now potentially the possibility of this is a truly credible, intrinsically valuable, even marketable destination. Not marketing in a commercial sense, but in the terms of public interest. So I wanted to make sure all these different things get on the into the record, and I want to thank the chair and the members of the commission for their patience and my many questions, especially since I'm the person who just came back. But I think that if we can get these different concerns into the record and commit to look at the an historic status and then continue to work on the area plans for West Savannah and for Woodville, you know, then I would think that's a different story than simply saying, well, here it is. It's this use, and you know, but you fully explained it, et cetera. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the members of the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. I've got two speaker cards here from the public. The first one is Pastor Larry Gordon. Could you please step forward and state your case, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Pastor Larry Gordon of the Solomon Temple Church of God in Christ.
Welcome, sir.
The Solomon Temple Church of God in Christ is a part of the Church of God in Christ, which is noted as the largest Pentecostal body in America now. And even churches such as the Assembly of God come out of the Church of God in Christ. The situation is that also Martin spoke his last speech in our headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee, the Church of God in Christ. Therefore, being rich in history, as a matter of fact, our local church is where Mr. Earl Schinholster, who is have the street name First NWACP leader from Savannah, grew up at that particular local church. And I'm in communication with his brother that is soon going to try to do something on our property to commemorate his parents. The situation is, I heard from the Salvation Army lawyer talking earlier and said that it was not part of the criteria that other ideals, what the community would rather have there. That was not part of the criteria. And that's the problem. I think it should be part of the criteria, especially after the recent racial issues that we're having in the country. And yeah, because a lot of the residents of West Savannah, and it's not just a A-OK thing in West Savannah. Maybe the 12 people that were conglomerated earlier before the rest of the community knew about it, because I did not know about it. And fortunately, I did learn about it, and everybody I talked to was just shocked and mind blowing that this was coming in their community and they did not know it. The gentleman talked about a meeting, and that meeting occurred because I called Bishop Farrell, one of our active ministers in West Savannah, and asked him, did he know? He didn't know. So we had to rush and see, can we get some type of meeting or some type of input or some type of toehold knowledge of this particular project. And in that regards, so the first thing is, I think it should be a issue that the community have a voice in it. As a 32-year pastor of the church right there on Augusta Avenue, Mr. Floyd Adams, we have, as a matter of fact, July 13th is recognized in Savannah as Mother Solomon Barry's Day, the first lady of color on the gospel radio station. And yes, and this goes a long way, because when I was 6 years, I grew up in that community from a child. It's about a football field away from the area that they want to build a homeless shelter. And when I was 5 and 6 years old, Tulip Street went all the way to Bay Street. And when Tulip Street went all the way to Bay Street, one day we saw the people cutting off the street. And I was a little boy at the time, and I said, I wish I could do something about our street being cut off, going to, we won't be able to be extended to Bay Street, because at that time, our welcome Greek neighbors that had a grocery store, Arthur grocery store, then he cut off the street to make it off the liquor store. And as a little five-year-old boy, I said, if I ever get old enough, I'll try to get a petition or something to have something to say about our community and my street being cut off. But I wasn't able to do it then. But because of being alerted, somebody in the know was able, and somebody had a feet at the table to let me know what's going on in West Savannah. And yes, we're coming kind of late on this, because we didn't know, amen, we don't have a seat at the table. I just drove in a community the other day. My wife and I say, hey, look at some nice houses back here. And by the time I drove in the community, and within a minute, somebody came out with, let the dog out. The next person was standing on the porch within a minute when I got back, standing on the porch watching. So, yeah, so we've been informed, and I'm asking that this project be rejected because there are many preachers, every preacher, mostly all the preachers I talk to in West Savannah, they don't want it. So there are many preachers that don't want it, but because the information, like I say, we didn't have feet under the table. Some of us had to work hard all our lives. We are not privileged sometimes just to be like the senior citizens group that sponsored in the neighborhood area to sit there and listen to everything. And yes, I'm glad I learned about the meeting today because I was on the other side of town, but I said, amen. So I'm saying we need our voice heard just like the fairground, and we admire them having their voice heard. What's going to be done with the fairground? I think it's discrimination if we don't get our voice heard. And somebody else, and we thank God for all the outstanding. This is not an indictment on anybody that was a part of the approval process, because things are different. Things are different after the George Floyd. Things are different. After the election, we having norms broke all across the nation.
All right, sir. Well, thanks for your comments. We understand that you're opposed to this project. The next card is for Mr. Tyrone Ware. You'd like to speak on this subject, sir? Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Tyrone Ware.
Welcome, sir.
President of the Woodville Community Action Organization. And as always, thank God for the opportunity to come before you all. I am in support of the Salvation Army's effort to put a transitional center there. I've lived in Woodville my whole life, 59 years. My mother, father, who's going to meet the Lord, he born and raised out there. A lot of history I learned from him and some of the old residents. My community is 150 years old. We just were annexed into the city in 1977. And though we're off of Bay Street, exactly 3 miles away from City Hall, we had a very rural feel. We're surrounded by historic sites all through that area. The site of Savannah, Great Bricks, built over Hermes Plantation, which is now international paper, Georgia Ports Authority, located Irene Mound. And this site, which is adjacent to the Ten Broek Racetrack, this site that Salvation Army is proposing and hopefully will be approved to put this transitional building would be near. Of my understanding, they're giving concessions. So as the weeping time, if everything, anything is ever developed there, will be able to be seen from Bay Street. The area is just well situated. There's no ingress or egress through any community. It's bordered by railroad tracks, bordered by Louisville Road, which is pretty much industrial, and also bordered by 516. And I'm for this because I see a need. And that need for myself as a Christian and seeing people throughout these communities who are homeless, may have drug problems, and most of these people that are homeless are women with children. Salvation Army is a Christian organization. They have a capacity to do things in this community or near this community that no one within the community has capacity to do. Christian organization. And they will help these people transition to better quality life. So when you look at it and say homeless shelter and plant that scene, we have to think, but by the grace of God, there goes us. And we've had people that come through that community. There's a lot of homeless that lives near the Brickyard area, the other homeless by 516, and also a little bit of road near the Highway 80 under the viaduct. And I know this, and these people, a lot of times, they're exposed to the elements. And we have had to open our hearts up to help someone to try to accommodate these people. And if we don't do that and stand in support of Salvation Army to do this, then this would truly be a time to weep. And we as Christians have got to build that capacity to show that love and compassion for our fellow man, because they're in our communities. And I stand 100% in support of it. And I'm willing to work with Salvation Army and hoping that they would have this to go forward, knowing that they will work as a good neighbor. And we're going to welcome them with open arms.
Thank you, Mr. Ware. I've also been notified that Ms. Bowers wanted everyone to know that she's not able to attend the meeting today. She had a medical procedure, but she wants to state that she is still against the project. Do we now want to hear from the petitioner or rebuttal? Mr. McCorkle.
Yes, I'll make it brief. I'm sorry the pastor from the church on Augusta Avenue, which is in West Savannah, was not apparently uninformed. I've done all I can do and more than I've ever done to communicate with the homeowners associations, the community associations in both West Savannah and Woodville, participated in meetings, met with pastors. Again, he was the only pastor at that meeting that was opposed to this facility. Salvation Army is a first-rate organization the city can be proud of. This facility will be something the city could be proud of. And we do meet the criteria for approval of special use, and would appreciate a recommendation going forward to the city council for that approval. Thanks.
I think we've heard enough. We now want to see if we can get a motion from the floor to act on this.
Mr. Chairman,
we do have one in public online.
We do have one online. Okay.
It's
you want to step forward and state your name for the record, please. 3 minutes. Someone online. 3 minutes.
Ms. Buford, if you wish to address us, please unmute your microphone.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I apologize, it would not unmute. Good afternoon to all who are on this meeting with MPC on today. I'll be brief, Mr. Chairman. I am Reverend Marcia Buford, the president of the West Savannah Neighborhood Organization. As I speak before you today, I want to cover 3 points which echo the support of the West Savannah Neighborhood Organization. One, it is still the overall consensus of the West Savannah Community Organization to support the project of the Salvation Army called the City of Hope, to be built on the old Francis Bartow Homes area on Augusta Avenue. We believe this project will be an asset to our community and not a liability. Two, the organization extended the information to a group of approximately 15 ministers, 10 of which were in attendance to a meeting with Attorney McCorkle, Major Egan, Housing Authority Director, Housing Authority Director, Ms. Earlene Davis, and Alderwoman Lanier. All were in support with the exception of one pastor. Thirdly, upon reviewing the petitions submitted by Ms. Arvenia Bowers, I spoke with a few individuals I know who signed the petition, and they informed me they were not aware of the project to be built, but they thought they were petitioning for a grocery store. We believe the benefit would not just be for the few in the neighborhood, but we believe that it would be to benefit the county as a whole, to help put individual lives back on track. And we believe that as a neighborhood, we can work effectively with the Salvation Army in conjunction with progress in our neighborhood. And that's, thank you for having me speak on today.
Thanks so much for your comments. I believe we can now move on to a motion to approve or reject the staff recommendation. Can I get a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. Can you hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Tanya Milton.
Okay, go ahead.
During the last meeting where we had this on the agenda, I asked for the continuation because there was so much unrest among the residents in the neighborhood. I wanted to give them an opportunity to work out their differences. There were other meetings that were held as well, and I'm glad now that we've to the point that they've reached out and they've done more, and it seems as though it may be more of a consensus. But I had received many phone calls and emails with differences that were with expressions of disconcern. So I just wanted to make that clarification as to why I continued this item from the last meeting.
Would you like to make a motion?
No.
This is Coles. I make the motion that we approve the staff's recommendation of approval.
And this is Joe Welch.
No, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Can we state clearly what the motion is again? There's some echo, and what voting for it would mean and what voting against it would mean.
The motion is to approve the staff recommendation is for approval to the special use requests. Mr. Brown, how do you vote?
Well, I vote for it. I forget how we used to do this, but I do want it noted in the minutes of the different requests that we made, especially having to do with the issue of the historic designation and potential development of the Weeping Time site. I'd like that to be stated in the minutes, and that the petitioner would cooperate with the any management problems at the site, and that it is consistent with these other plans and I'd like to have that put into the record as it goes forth to City Council. And with that, I vote for it.
So no.
Aaron Jarrett, can we make a friendly amendment?
I believe we're just voting on the motion. Mr. Wywoody, how do you vote?
I'd like to reaffirm the city manager's statements and vote for it with his comments.
Ms. Southers?
I would like to reaffirm the city manager's statements and vote in favor with his comments.
Was that Ms. Southers?
Yes, it was Ms. Southers.
Ms. Milton?
Yes, I'm in agreement with the city manager's comments.
Mr. Welch.
I'm in agreement with city manager, Mr. Brown's comments. Yes.
Mr. Irvin.
I would like to say that my initial and first blush impression was a no. However, having heard the comments from the Westside Community Organization itself, I am in favor of the Salvation Army going forward with this project.
Thank you, Ms. Jarrett.
I too would like to see the motion amended to include the city manager's comments in the motion, but without that, I guess I approve.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
In favor, with the city manager's comments included as well.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
The motion passes, and this will be forwarded on to city council for them to vote on it at a later date. That recommendation from the board is to approve the staff recommendation. Anything else?
Mr. Chair, if I may add, I know a number of the board members expressed wanting to have the city manager's comments put into the record. I just want to make it very clear that the request moving forward is for the special use permit only, and that I will work with the city manager and their staff to address the comments and desires that he had with regards to looking at the adjacent property for historic and other land use options.
This is going before city council anyway. This is just a recommendation from the board. Any other business before this board? If not, we're adjourned.